On this episode of the Green Street Beat, we're focusing on the Lee Summit Police Department's policies and answering questions that have come up following the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis and the subsequent nationwide protests. Let's get to it. I'm Eric Stoyan of the city's Public Communications Coordinator. Today I'm joined by Police Chief Travis Forbes. Thanks for taking the time to be on the podcast.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So there have been a lot of questions about policing in general following the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis. I'm sure by now everyone has seen the horrific video of the officer kneeling on Floyd's neck. That officer now charged with murder and the three other officers also facing charges. People across the country are protesting, demanding change. So we wanted to talk with Chief Forbes about what the reaction's been within the Lee Summit Police Department and what's been your reaction personally to not only what happened to George Floyd, but the protests across the country?
Well, my reaction and the reaction of those I work with has been very consistent. I was shocked, disappointed, and disheartened by what I saw when I saw the video. I was shocked because it portrays behavior that just is absolutely counter to what we train and what we expect from our officers. And again, that sentiment is shared with those I work with, too, that I've talked to about this. Disappointing because we know that these actions, they reflect poorly upon a career that many of us have worked really hard to professionalize and to earn trust of the community, because that relationship with the community to us is everything. And by community, we mean everyone. And when that trust is broken, it's just very difficult to ever regain that trust again. It takes a lot of time and a lot of healing and discussion. So that's kind of my sentiment on that issue. Specific to the protests, you know, the First Amendment, in my opinion, is part of the most valuable part of our legal system in a democracy. So people have the right to be heard. And our most significant concern with the protests that have occurred is obviously maintaining the safety of everybody involved. We want to be certain that they're peaceful and that everyone stays safe, including the protesters, or primarily the protesters, honestly. And I'll be candid in saying that it has been a bit challenging with our resources and also the fact that we are still in the midst of a pandemic and we're attempting to protect our citizens and our staff from those concerns too. But they're very justified. And I understand the protest and we're listening. We're doing a lot of listening, having a lot of conversations, and I've seen more of a movement towards those productive conversations and interaction with government officials lately, which is encouraging. So I think we're moving in a good direction.
And I know you've received numerous questions about our police department in recent weeks. What are people asking you?
We've received a lot of questions about our use of force policy. The actions obviously demonstrated in that video are inconsistent with our policy and not allowed by our policy. And, you know, the fact that we have to have a use force policy and that we ever have to use force is unfortunate, but obviously in some cases it's necessary to effect arrests in some cases and things of that nature. But our policy and training, in response to those questions, emphasizes de-escalation. We understand that the approach can make a difference, but not in every case, but in many cases, the officer's approach can make a big difference. We train defensive tactics twice a year, but as part of that, we include de-escalation and decision-making. So we run through different scenarios or procedures, and we have some reality-based training too, where officers are presented with how would you approach this situation or handle this or that. So it's not just about techniques and what to apply and the force that you use. It's all about decision-making processes too. We train on firearms usage twice a year, too. And again, it's not just firing weapons into targets. We have a lot of discussion about our policy, our decision-making and scenarios. And our firearms instructors do a really good job of saying, well, this happened in this part of the country. How would that be approached here in Lee Summit? What are your thoughts on that? So we go through different scenario-based trainings to determine the appropriate amount of force to use and how to address those situations. We also have supplementary training that is specifically devoted to de-escalation and decision-making in addition to those practical sessions too. So we emphasize it quite a bit in our training and our policy. When a use of force does occur, It's always documented, and it's reviewed at every level of supervision, up to and including myself. Thankfully, use of force is somewhat rare in the different interactions we have in with citizens in Lee Summit, so we are able to really look at each instance very closely and apply policy and determine, was it appropriate and was everything conducted within policy? If there's ever an injury or even a claim of injury, we do an in-depth investigation where we review any video that was captured in the event. We interview any witnesses or the person who was involved, the officers who were involved. And again, we determine, was policy adhered to or not. We are also an accredited department by the Commission on Law Enforcement Accreditation. And the assessors, when we last went through the accreditation cycle, they come to our department and they visit us and they look at our policies, but they don't just do that. They look for proofs that we're adhering to those policies and following recommendations. And they commented about the thoroughness of our procedure and our investigations, which made me feel good that these folks who focus on national standards really thought we have a pretty good policy as it sits. So I feel pretty good about that.
And when you're talking about this training, how many hours, I guess, would you say a typical officer goes through on an annual basis of these training tactics?
Oh, on, you know, the two sessions that we do, it's basically 2 8-hour sessions broken into firearms and defensive tactics. Then we have some additional training, which is a couple of hours on de-escalation in particular and how to handle those cases. Officers are required to attend a certain amount of training every year by the state of Missouri. We adhere to that and we go further than that. And we would honestly like to go even further if we have the time and resources to do it. It's in our future planning to expand our training even further than it is now.
Does the Lee Summit Police Department have a policy to avoid discrimination and make sure policing is bias-free?
Yes, we have a prohibition on bias-based policing. So it's very important to us, and we have several measures in place to assure that bias-free policing is occurring in our community. One of the things that we do, for example, is we have an early intervention system. And quarterly, supervisors will review complaints against officers, use of force reports, which again, every use of force has to be reported. And they'll also look at car stop data to determine, is there a concern? As far as use of forces go, those reports, typically if an officer has more than one in a quarter, it's a concern. So that kind of indicates how rare the use of force actually is in Lee Summit. And by saying it's a concern, it doesn't mean that the officer's done anything wrong. It just means we're going to look deeper and more closely and see, did the officer just have a situation where within that quarter he or she unfortunately was put in a position where they had to use force and did so appropriately, or is there any other concern that exists? So that early intervention system allows us to really keep an eye on things and make sure that officers are doing things appropriately. And I'm very proud of the professionalism that our officers exhibit.
I also want to talk a little bit about body cameras. Lee Summit voters recently approved a bond for the purchase of body cameras and a new video system and police cruisers, all in effort to increase transparency. What's the progress with those?
We are on a good track with the body cameras. We obviously received the no tax increase bond issue, but we also received a federal grant for a little over $250,000 to contribute to that project too. Not only will it give us body cameras for every officer, it will also help improve the in-car video systems that we currently have that are a little bit dated. We'll have many opportunities to have video from scenes for evidentiary purposes or also for assuring officers acted in a professional way. And we're quite excited about that. The project was just passed by council 2 weeks ago, the contract with the vendor to purchase those cameras. We're being told it could be delayed somewhat, again, due to the pandemic. Some of the supplies are coming from countries that are struggling with that issue right now. But we're ready to go. Officers are very excited about the body cameras. They're excited to have them as another tool in their tool belt to use. Our policy, it's not just getting the equipment, by the way, it's the policy behind the equipment, too. So officers will use these on all civilian interactions that they have. So it'll provide a nice base of video that we have for reviews and evidence and things of that nature.
So when there is an interaction, is that video immediately reviewed, or what's that review process like? When do you decide what's reviewed and what isn't reviewed?
There will be a massive amount of data, so there's no way that we'll be able to review every piece of video that comes in, but it'll definitely be helpful in complaints that we receive, so we'll be able to review video based upon the complaint. There'll also be a procedure, there is a procedure in place to do periodic random reviews too of calls for service that officers go on where there isn't a complaint, just as a quality control check. So we won't be able to review every minute of video. We would need a lot more people to be able to do that, but it'll be very useful for any complaints we receive and also those random checks.
And can you explain a little bit more about how the body cameras work? Are they automatic, or do the officers have to manually turn them on when they have an interaction?
It's a little bit of both. So the system works to automatically come on in certain situations. For example, lights and sirens are turned on the police car. The system can detect the officers running to an emergency calls for service, so it will engage the system on its own. It doesn't automatically detect when an officer has an interaction with a citizen, obviously. So there is some manual on and off that they'll have to do. An officer, it becomes part of the muscle memory in talking to other agencies. They just get accustomed to doing it. There are privacy issues too. So there are certain situations where it's not appropriate for us to record. So that's why some of that manual processing is required, but it's a little bit of both and how it's triggered to turn on and off.
And how do you ensure that officers, I guess, are following the policy to make sure they are recording as many interactions as they can?
That's part of those random checks that will be done. And also, if a complaint arises and the body camera was not turned on when it was supposed to be, that's problematic and that will lead to correction. So those random checks are part of that process, but also and again, it's not just based on complaints. These cameras will be extremely useful as evidence in criminal cases where an officer may have been on the scene where a crime occurred. Video is kind of around us everywhere today, not just on these body cameras that officers have, but obviously in individuals' own cell phones and then at different intersections and businesses around everyone's community. There's a lot of video out there, including Ring doorbell cameras and people's residences too. It's amazing how much video is out there, not just from these sources, but elsewhere.
Another aspect of this is that many also see a need for improved relations between the minority community and police. What are some things that the Lee's Summit Police Department is doing in that regard?
Well, again, I want to reiterate that we work very hard to maintain a good relationship with our community. And again, that means all members of our community. We have a long history at the Lee's Summit Police Department that precedes me. I've been here a little over 5 years as chief, but they've had a long tradition of community policing and emphasizing that. In fact, we employ two positions specifically dedicated to building that relationship. There are community interaction officers. And, you know, I will say, and I always say this to people, that we employ humans. Humans make mistakes, including myself. We all make mistakes. So I'm not here to say that our officers or myself never make mistakes. We certainly do. And we also recognize that biases exist. And we train about bias-based policing, as I talked about earlier, and implicit bias twice a year. We've had a lot of different conversations about this topic, and not just since the death of George Floyd, but long before. And our hiring process, as a result, includes extensive processes, including a psychological evaluation of applicants, tests for racial bias. And quite frankly, I'm not aware of any other profession that does that. So I think that's a good thing. But on the other hand, I know that there's really no way to deeply crawl into someone's head and their heart and determine, do they have these biases that impact what they do? So it's a challenge, and essentially we do the best that we can with the resources that we have to hire the most professional staff and maintain the most professional staff that we have. We recruit minority applicants, and it's very, very tough. We also have a lot of competition from other departments throughout the area who are also seeking to recruit minority applicants. So we believe there's improvements that can be made in that area, and we'd like to see more minorities apply for the position. But I'll be frank that it is a tough position to work in. So recruitment, period, is a challenge to get people interested in law enforcement these days. A quick story, one of the first officers I hired when I came to Lee's Summit was an officer named Thomas Orr. A friend of mine who I used to work with at a prior department lived in the community where Thomas was policing at the time and called me and said, "You have to hire this police officer." Well, I don't get myself involved in the hiring process because I don't want any claims of favoritism or things like that. But Thomas got the job on his own merits because he was a great officer. He was also an African-American officer. And Thomas would talk about the struggles that he would have between his community and his profession. He was directly in the middle of that push and pull that we see today, as are all African-American officers. And unfortunately, Thomas was murdered by gunfire while off duty a few years ago. He had just started as an SRO, a school resource officer at Bernard Campbell. And he hoped to impress his values and beliefs on those students there. And he barely had any time with the students, but he made a huge impact on the amount of time that he did have. And his legacy really sticks with me. I want us to continue to work hard at eliminating that push and pull that exists. I know there's a lot of work to do to get there, but what I see these days sometimes is people are confronted with questions about their support for the Black community and their support for law enforcement. And it shouldn't be an either or proposition to me. We support the Black community in the Lee Summit Police Department. We want to do more. We want to build that bridge. They're part of our community. They're an important part to us. My officers who are minority are very important to me. I want them to stay in this profession. And that push and pull, to me, puts them in danger of leaving this profession when we need them. We need them to serve as models for our community. So we're listening, and I'm listening. And it troubles my heart that this division exists, and I don't want it to exist. Quite frankly, I've worked too many homicide cases during the course of my career. I've worked too many homicide cases from all racial and ethnic backgrounds. And I can tell you, I've delivered death notifications to victims' families. And the tears that they shed, mothers and fathers who have lost their sons and daughters, are the same tears of grief. To me, they're no different. They don't look any different. They're tragic. And my heart is saddened equally by all of them. And I think about those tears a lot, quite frankly. So I think about the dedication that also I've seen from police officers put into those investigations, because I know they're struck by those tears too, as well. So it doesn't matter who the person was, their background, where they were in the community, those officers work just as hard on those cases, no matter who it is. And the value of those lives that were lost, it's just not measurable. I think we'll never know the type of impact those individuals would have had on our world. So I know that we're stronger as a community when we're together, and we need to continue to move toward that. And there's a lot of portrayal of this division that exists in our society, but I've had many expressions of support for the police department come my way from a very, very diverse cross-section of our city. There's great conversations that have been had, prayers that have been had. It's been very productive, and I hope that we continue to move in that positive way. I'm very encouraged by the spirit of acceptance and growth that I've seen in the City of Lee Summit and the department that I work for, and I'll continue to work to assure that the community is a great, safe place to live, and work by employing standards and practices to build that public trust that I think has been damaged, and to police this community in a fair and impartial way. And to us, or to me, for sure, no matter what you look like, your religious beliefs, your sexual orientation, how much money you have in your bank account, or where you live, you're important to me, and you're a member of this community. And we just want to police you in the right way.
And then just one final thing. The police department has added the police department practices, kind of dedicated a page on the city's website. Why did you think that that was important to put that information out there for the public?
We've been engaged in a lot of questions. Again, that's part of that productive conversations I just referred to. A lot of good questions from the community about, you know, obviously there's some fear that something tragic and awful could like this could occur in our community. And we want to be very transparent. Again, the relationship we have with our community is very important to us. And so by exposing the policies that we have that are in place and the training systems that are in place, we're working hard to assure to the best of our ability. Again, we employ human beings. And so I have a lot of trust and faith that the human beings that we work with, including myself, that will always do the right thing. We're doing what we can with the systems that we have in place to put the most professional police officers out there to serve this community. And I think we're trying to do things the right way. Again, we're always open to positive changes in the right direction. So that's why we felt it important to put those out there.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
No, just last thing I'd say is I just feel blessed to live in this community. I appreciate those who have expressed their opinions have done so in a very peaceful way and productive way. We've experienced a lot of support in the police department, and it's a great place to basically to live and work. I love this community, and I just want to do what's right for it.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the latest episode. Make sure to share on social media. We'd also love to hear suggestions for future episodes. Send your thoughts to communications@cityofls.net.